This is the reading for May 7th, Psalm 127. If the Lord doesn't build a house, the builders are working for nothing. If the Lord doesn't guard the city, the guards are watching for nothing. It is no use for you to get up early and stay up late, working for a living. The Lord gives sleep to those He loves. Children are a gift from the Lord. Babies are a reward. Children who are born to a young man are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Happy is the man who has his bag full of arrows. They will not be defeated when they fight their enemies at the city gate. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to appoint you king over Israel. Now listen to his message. This is what the Lord All-Powerful says. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, the Amalekites tried to stop them from going to Canaan, so I will punish them. Now go, attack the Amalekites and destroy everything they own as an offering to the Lord. Don't let anything live. Put to death men and women, children and small babies, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." So Saul called the army together at Telaim. There were 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Then Saul went to the city of Amalek and set up an ambush in the ravine. He said to the Kenites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites, so that I won't destroy you with them, because you showed kindness to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul defeated the Amalekites. He fought them all the way from Havilah to Shur at the border of Egypt. He took King Agag of the Amalekites alive, but he killed all of Agag's army with a sword. Saul and the army let Agag live, along with the best sheep, fat cattle, and lambs. They let every good animal live because they did not want to destroy them, but when they found an animal that was weak or useless, they killed it. Then the Lord spoke his word to Samuel, "I am sorry I made Saul king, because he has stopped following me and has not obeyed my commands." Samuel was upset, and he cried out to the Lord all night long. Early the next morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But the people told Samuel, "Saul has gone to Carmel, where he's put up a monument in his own honor. Now he has gone down to Gilgal." When Samuel came to Saul, Saul said, "May the Lord bless you. I have obeyed the Lord's commands." But Samuel said, "Then why do I hear cattle mooing and sheep bleating?" Saul answered, "The soldiers took them from the Amalekites. They saved the best sheep and cattle to offer as sacrifices to the Lord your God, but we destroyed all the other animals." Samuel said to Saul, "Stop. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." Saul answered, "Tell me." Samuel said, "Once you didn't think much of yourself, but now you have become the leader of the tribes of Israel. The Lord appointed you to be king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission. He said, 'Go and destroy those evil people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until all of them are dead.' Why didn't you obey the Lord? Why did you take the best things? Why did you do what the Lord said was wrong?" Saul said, "But I did obey the Lord. I did what the Lord told me to do. I destroyed all the Amalekites, and I brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took the best sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal." But Samuel answered, "What pleases the Lord more, burnt offerings and sacrifices, or obedience to his voice? It is better to obey than to sacrifice. It is better to listen to God than to offer the fat of sheep. Disobedience is as bad as the sin of sorcery. Pride is as bad as the sin of worshiping idols. You have rejected the Lord's command. Now he rejects you as king." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I didn't obey the Lord's commands and your words. I was afraid of the people, and I did what they said. Now I beg you, forgive my sin. Come back with me so I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said to Saul, "I won't go back with you. You rejected the Lord's command, and now he rejects you as king of Israel." As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught his robe and it tore. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors who is better than you. The Lord is the eternal one of Israel. He does not lie or change his mind. He is not a human being, so he does not change his mind." Saul answered, "I have sinned, but please honor me in front of the older leaders of my people and in front of the Israelites. Come back with me so that I can worship the Lord your God." So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, "Bring me King Agag of the Amalekites." Agag came to Samuel in chains. But Agag thought, "Surely the threat of death has passed." Samuel said to him, "Your sword made other mothers lose their children. Now your mother will have no children." And Samuel cut Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel left and went to Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah. And Samuel never saw Saul again the rest of his life, but he was sad for Saul, and the Lord was very sorry he had made Saul king of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you continue to feel sorry for Saul? I have rejected him as king of Israel. Fill your container with olive oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, who lives in Bethlehem, because I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "If I go, Saul will hear the news and will try to kill me." The Lord said, "Take a young calf with you. Say, 'I have come to offer a sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice. Then I will tell you what to do. You must appoint the one I show you." Samuel did what the Lord told him to do. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the older leaders of Bethlehem shook with fear. They met him and asked, "Are you coming in peace?" Samuel answered, "Yes, I come in peace. I have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Set yourselves apart to the Lord and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he set Jesse and his sons apart to the Lord, and he invited them to come to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, and he thought, "Surely the Lord has appointed this person standing here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't look at how handsome Eliab is or how tall he is, because I have not chosen him. God does not see the same way people do. People look at the outside of a person, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and told him to pass by Samuel, but Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this man either." Then Jesse had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "No, the Lord has not chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass by Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse answered, "I still have the youngest son. He is out taking care of the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent and had his youngest son brought in. He was a fine boy, tanned and handsome. The Lord said to Samuel, "Go, appoint him, because he is the one." So Samuel took the container of olive oil and poured it on Jesse's youngest son to appoint him in front of his brothers. From that day on, the Lord's Spirit worked in David. Samuel then went back to Ramah. But the Lord's Spirit had left Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Saul's servants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is troubling you. Give us the command to look for someone who can play the harp. When the evil spirit from God troubles you, he will play and you will feel better." So Saul said to his servants, "Find someone who can play well and bring him to me." One of the servants said, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem play the harp. He is brave and courageous. He is a good speaker and handsome, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse, saying, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So Jesse loaded a donkey with bread, a leather bag full of wine, and a young goat, and he sent them with his son David to Saul. When David came to Saul, he began to serve him. Saul liked David and made him the officer who carried his armor. Saul sent a message to Jesse, saying, "Let David stay and serve me, because I like him." When the evil spirit from God troubled Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then the evil spirit would leave him, and Saul would feel better.
Chapter 24.
Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. They were carrying the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were puzzled about this, two men in clothes that were as bright as lightning suddenly stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed to the ground. The men asked the women, "Why are you looking among the dead for the living one? He's not here. He has been brought back to life. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee. He said, 'The Son of Man must be handed over to sinful people, be crucified, and come back to life on the third day.'" Then the women remembered what Jesus had told them. The women left the tomb and went back to the city. They told everything to the 11 apostles and all the others. The women were Mary from Magdala, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. There were also other women with them. They told the apostles everything. The apostles thought that the women's story didn't make any sense, and they didn't believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He bent down to look inside and saw only the strips of linen. Then he went away, wondering what had happened. On the same day, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village called Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were talking, Jesus approached them and began walking with them. Although they saw him, they didn't recognize him. He asked them, "What are you discussing?" They stopped and looked very sad. One of them, Cleopas, replied, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know what has happened recently?" "What happened?" he asked. They said to him, "We were discussing what happened to Jesus from Nazareth. He was a powerful prophet in what he did and said in the sight of God and all the people. Our chief priests and rulers had him condemned to death and crucified. We were hoping that he was the one who would free Israel. What's more, this is now the third day since everything happened. Some of the women from our group startled us. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They told us that they had seen angels who said that he's alive. Some of our men went to the tomb and found it empty, as the women had said, but they didn't see him." Then Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are! You're so slow to believe everything that the prophets said. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then he began with Moses' teachings and the prophets to explain to them what was said about him throughout the scriptures. When they came near the village where they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. They urged him, "Stay with us. It's getting late and the day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. While he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it. He broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't we excited when he talked with us on the road and opened up the meaning of the scriptures for us?" That same hour, they went back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 apostles and those who were with them gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has really come back to life and has appeared to Simon." Then the two disciples told what had happened on the road and how they had recognized Jesus when he broke the bread. While they were talking about what had happened, Jesus stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you." They were terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He asked them, "Why are you afraid? Why do you have doubts? Look at my hands and feet and see that it's really me. Touch me and see for yourselves. Ghosts don't have flesh and bones, but you can see that I do." As he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. The disciples were overcome with joy and amazement because this seemed too good to be true. Then Jesus asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it while they watched him. Then he said to them, "These are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you. I told you that everything written about me in Moses' teachings, the prophets, and the Psalms had to come true." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "Scripture says that the Messiah would suffer and that he would come back to life on the third day. Scripture also says that by the authority of Jesus, people must be told to turn to God and change the way they think and act so that their sins will be forgiven. This must be told to people from all nations, beginning in the city of Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I'm sending you what my Father promised. Wait here in the city until you receive power from heaven." Then Jesus took them to a place near Bethany. There he raised his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken to heaven. The disciples worshiped him and were overjoyed as they went back to Jerusalem. They were always in the temple where they praised God.